This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf. It
went smack down to welcome in. I'm chuckling. It's Backspin Golf. Right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. And I'm chuckling because for the first time in, it seems like a year, I am sitting 6 feet away from Perry French. Perry French!
Well?
I'm ecstatic. Can you tell? It's like Christmas morning for
wow.
me.
Wow. What a welcome.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
Sean was happy to see a person other than you, he said to
me. Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. I mean, we've been looking at each other nonstop.
Well, thank God you're both still here, because I figured that much quarantining of the two of you, someone would come out a loser.
But it's so great to see you.
Good to see you as well.
It is.
Thank you.
I mean, it's one thing for you to call and talk on the phone and, whatever.
Yeah, it's fun to be back. It's fun to get out and see people, talk golf.
Yeah.
Face-to-face.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Oh, okay. While you're here. Hi, Chris Mascaro.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Chris Mascaro. Next on the tee, one of the greatest podcasts. Go to podbean.com. Check it out. Thank you for all your support, too, Chris. You're a great friend, not only to me, but to many people to the game of golf.
Yes, he is. He's awesome, and he's got just a slew, a bevy of great guests each week, and it's fun to listen
like
to.
Like me, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'm an award winner.
Right next to me.
What's the shirt you have on? What does it say on your sleeve? PGA Kentucky Section.
Yes.
Sean, go in my office and get my award, will you please? Because that's what it says on my award. How come I didn't get a shirt?
Well, see, you can't wear that award around. That's the thing. See, you just have to.
That's a good point. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to get one of those shirts, but above it, I'm going to have stitched 2020 media. Don't you think?
Listen, I'll.
You wouldn't do that if you won the award.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Good stuff.
Now, let's start here, okay? We're going to talk a little bit in a few minutes about bad golf swings, which I don't personally have, but I understand some people have visually bad golf
swings. Visually bad golf swings.
Okay. It's an important distinction. But first, let's talk about last weekend at Hilton Head, a course I've played 25 times at least. Mm-hmm. I sat there watching that golf tournament. And what those guys were doing to that golf course with, as I said during the week, greens as big as the rug in your living room.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's one thing that TV doesn't show. Of course, they try to talk about the size of the greens. These, by far and away, are the smallest greens per square foot
lot.
On the PGA Tour. They're also probably the narrowest golf holes on the PGA Tour.
Absolutely. Hole to hole.
It is a sight line that is going to instill fear in most golfers.
I heard something Pete Dye said, which I've never heard before I've heard a lot of stuff he said.
Yeah.
But Pete Dye actually said when somebody asked him about how hard Harbortown was, how difficult it was, he said, "My golf courses aren't difficult. When you play visually, they're difficult," which was really interesting to me. It's like I say about Sawgrass. Right. Every time you look up, there's something getting in your head. Same way with Harbortown.
Well, no, and that is part of golf course design architects. Right. They try to trick you visually. They try to set the tee box to go a little to the right, and the target is really to the left, and you line up and you hit it into the trouble that you see.
Into the trees.
Magnetism that your mind starts seeing, and of course it does see the trouble, and it starts to jump. He did a great – of course – I'm not quite sure how Harbortown, how old it is, but it's got to be in the 50 years old.
Yeah.
So technology was built, with a lot more curving of the golf ball What we saw this past week was how technology in today's modern player took lines that were not supposed to be.
That shot Abraham Ancer hit?
Flying trees from, you know, into these, you know, into these sidelines.
From 260.
And they played phenomenal. I was really, really, I really enjoyed the golf because it was a birdie
too.
Fest. And to see that many guys at 16, you know, I mean, not 16, but 16, 17, 18, 19 under par grouped
five
together.
Five guys was, shot 20 under or better.
Yeah. And then it got to that point. I said, well, the guys who posted 17 as great as Justin Thomas played to shoot 63. Said, they got no chance.
Right.
Said, no chance.
Absolutely.
And Webb Simpson, after the first 11 holes, didn't look like he had a chance to win the golf tournament either. And wow, what a finish he had.
That's what, five out of seven, the last five out of seven.
Five out of seven after 11 holes. Just a phenomenal finish. And it just really, it was a different version of tour golf as what it was. And also, too, I think the fact that we had a field that not normally plays Harbortown. As it falls
correct.
The week after the Masters, we have a lot of players who pass on that event for obvious reasons. And it's a great place to go. It's a great tournament. But that golf course lends itself to players who are not quite the bombers out there. They're
right.
A little more and also they've just got them playing Augusta, so they're tired. They don't want, you know, it's not in their schedule. So the field was probably as high quality a field they've had in years.
Absolutely it
and
was.
And so to tear up the course record and shoot, you know, that 22 under par, again, be it Webb Simpson, sure. I mean, it's a golf course really made for him.
Yeah.
It really is. Shot maker. He was on, I was telling you.
And his putting.
And he fits right into our talk about
bad-looking
golf swings work.
But
and it was, you know.
Again, it just goes to show you, all those guys out there, if you make putts, you have a chance.
Yeah.
So many of the guys, their green and regulation stats for the week were terrific.
Yeah.
And they finished 42nd. Because now Webb Simpson, on the other hand, started rolling it, and boom, all of a sudden.
It's not like whatever happened every week that happens on the tour. The top 10 players who are competing to win the tournament come Sunday
right.
are all putting it well.
Right.
They've had one really good putting round typically. I mean, like a phenomenal 150-foot putting round. They shot
right.
65 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they also had that stat going into the last round, 95 out of 97 made from inside of 7
right.
feet or whatever they want to call it. And it all makes sense as we talk about this week in and week out with working on your short game, becoming a better putter. I talked about playing this past week in an event, didn't putt well. I hadn't played. And quite frankly, the greens were tricky enough that I didn't putt well. And I wasn't confident enough to negate some of those putts that looked, a little visually intimidating, over-reading some breaks, maybe trying to, then I said, oh, let's take some of the break out and try to speed
hit it
one
a little
in.
Harder,
and all of a sudden I look up
by.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what everybody experiences when you play around at different courses. Not so much your home course. I think you know each week in and week out how to, you're not typically, that's why it's a home
right.
course. You're not typically intimidated. But for these guys to go out week after week playing courses that they hadn't played but a year previous, they can really dial it in with those two or three days of practice rounds.
It's
and
amazing.
Then by the time the third day and fourth day when they're in the hunt.
On the weekend.
So take that for note. It's really, you know, the old saying, it's drive for show and putt for dough. Webb Simpson put it on him in the putting category. And, Sergio putted phenomenal last. He birdied five in the
all
last seven.
All those guys,
holes.
I mean, as you said, there were guys 17, 18, 19 under at Harbortown. 20 under was the record for that tournament.
I know.
And there were five guys that were better than that and a bunch more right there.
It'll be interesting to see how this dynamic of players maybe having a little less distraction on the golf course with no fans.
How do you. Okay. People have been listening to me talk about
this.
And
I think there's a level of, you know, it's the Sunday morning group, right? You go out and play. It's your game. You're just kind of focused on your group, your own game. There's not much distractions. Think about it. You are a tour player, and if you're competing to win, you know, you're walking from the tee to the green to the tee, and kids and fans are putting their hands out,
right.
wanting to knuckle slap them, whatever. Maybe not so much going forward. But but that's a distraction. And even if it takes you just a little bit off your game, it might
it's
mean
something.
That two or three shots that
right.
you don't make coming down the stretch. And if it's someone in the crowd that's sitting there and it's visually, I don't know.
And it's people groaning when you miss a putt or conversely.
Hearing
hearing
the roars from across the fairway.
Now, we saw not this week at Harbortown, the week before at Colonial.
Yeah.
The tee boxes, because there were no fans, I remember that one shot of Koepka standing, getting ready to putt, and the tee box from the next hole was right in front of him. Now, normally he wouldn't see it because of all the fans. There were no fans. He had to wait for the group to tee off on that tee box before he could putt.
Right, right. And that, and again, that's the other thing, too. As a player, knowing, of course, they still had leaderboards out there, but knowing that there's a momentum. And we all know, if having played sports, that there's adrenaline that kind of kicks
in.
And different players work it positively and negatively. So I at the end of the season, especially as we just talked earlier to you and I off air, was the PGA is going to be held now without fans, and it's
correct.
Not going to be
at
moving.
Harding Park.
Yeah,
in the Bay
the
area.
Rumor we had heard in Kentucky was it may be coming to Valhalla, which would have been an interesting get. But again, it's very easy to have a golf course ready that's in tournament condition every day of the year in Valhalla. Not going to put any stands up. So come on
they
in,
just,
play. Yeah, just
if
come
it
play.
Gets to that point,
hotels
in,
would be the only thing, and that's probably not an issue right now either. So that was a realistic standby from a logistics standpoint, not an issue. But I heard it was that the California wasn't going to let them to play, period. It wasn't with or without fans.
Well, they announced a few days ago that they were keeping it at Harding Park.
Yeah, and so that's, again, I think it'll be interesting to see players at the end of the season. Will we play the Masters without fans in November? I don't know about that.
Well, here's what I think about this.
But it'll be interesting to see.
Because we all know about Augusta, and they have more money than they can spend, and it's why the course looks the way. But we've also talked about, like, they're going to have to – it's a totally different time of year. It's months later from when normal.
It's not even close.
And we're used to seeing around the 12th green magnolias and all the bushes and all. They're going to fly in. So here's my theory. They're going to have holograms of an entire course filled with fans. Like, Augusta could spend the money to make you think there are actually fans there.
That would seem. I think they'd go to the actual farms and say, hothouse us in some real live and have it there.
Whatever they want to do. But you're right.
We'll see what happens. You're the Premier League fan that you are. Aren't they doing it in their telecast? They're actually having the crowd noise being produced in as the game goes on.
And we've had discussions about this, too.
We're going to the Premier League right now.
Well, for me, I'm not a moron. Like, if you're... Wait, Sean. Mickey Sean O'Shea, of course, is on our EPL show with me. And Sean might know the answer to this because that's his cousin. We were going to check and see if they were actually pumping the crowd noise in to the stadia in the English Premier League, or if that was just TV.
I think it's just TV.
It's just TV. Yeah. Right.
Okay. I'm against the whole. Yeah.
So we'll see
about
what the PGA Tour does. I don't think they'll do anything like that.
They're not going to. They can't do that. What? They're going to have a button ready if somebody makes a putt, and they're going to hit a button that the whole crowd cheers.
Someone has to produce the event anyhow.
Oh my lord. Oh, my Lord. Just the thought of that. Anyway,
good stuff.
These tournaments are one thing. But as you say, when you get to the majors, if there are no fans. But I have said, I am enjoying these fanless tournaments on TV way more than regular golf tournaments. And I think a lot of it is the camera work is totally different. They're not people up in the towers. The announcing is even different, even though most of the time it still sucks. it's different. The everything they're putting into play technologically from the truck now, I'm enjoying it more than I do a normal golf tournament.
That's fine. I don't disagree. I think it'll be interesting to see. And I just said we're looking at a Ryder Cup year, and
no, we're not.
No. They're not going to flip the switch again and push the Ryder Cup back a year and do. Is that
no Ryder Cup? Where have you been?
I've been on another planet. What are you talking about? They haven't postponed the Ryder Cup, have they?
Yeah.
When was that announced? Come on,
Sean, get on it. 2021.
I was just talking yesterday. No one in our group ever...
Well, you didn't talk to me I don't know who you were talking to.
About the Ryder Cup.
Come to an authority. Perry, I'm an award winner.
That's embarrassing. You need to edit that out.
It was yesterday.
It was. So it happened on the golf course. Literally, these two things, I played in an event. I did not go through the whole golf channel. So it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that a...
2021.
Wow.
And you were about to say...
It has not been officially announced yet. It won't be officially announced until...
Until when? But they announced it yesterday.
Early next week.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, so you're an inside scooper, and that's good.
No, I know.
Okay.
But here's the thing. You were about to say, what's a Ryder Cup without the fans,
exactly.
Right? That's what you
there
were
going
to say.
So it answers my own question to the fact that don't have the Ryder Cup. If you're not going to have fans, do just what they did.
Yeah. I'm really divided on that, and it doesn't matter now. Yeah. But I really am divided on that.
Okay.
In one way, I said when they were still going to play it, I want them to play it. Even without fans, it's still Europe against the United States. It's still golf. It's still...
And having been to a Ryder Cup, a couple of them, the one here at Valhalla and then up in Minnesota,
right?
It is a made-for-TV event.
Yes.
With this number of players, it really is.
Right.
It's
absolutely.
It's the viewership, it's tough to watch as a spectator. Yes, it's great to have the groups at every hole greeting them and cheering and making the things, but it's really a made for
TV. I'm all
event.
For having them at the behind the first tee.
Yeah, I
dancing,
can do that.
Dancing, yelling, doing all that stuff. And
greeting,
then,
yeah.
Then keep them all. And
part maybe they of, could do that.
Part of another thing about it is crowds have gotten so out of control in so many ways. And especially at the Ryder Cup, I mean, because it's encouraged and it's
sure.
That I'm really divided, but I think we're not going to have to worry about it till next year now. So
I'm sad to hear that, but.
All right. We didn't even get to our.
We'll talk about this. You know, this thing
week.
About swings, it's not going away.
You know how I know that? Because I've had the same swing for 34 years now or whatever it's been.
And then there's
I was
my
hoping every week I hope it goes away.
There's
but
my
it's
point.
Still there. All right. See you next week. Yay. It's great to see you.
Great to see you in
yes. person.
See you.
All right. He waved at me, Sean. All right. We'll be back. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Men O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5. Joining us now, our buddy Charles Galloon, the Shade Tree Pro. Hi, pal.
What's going on, man? How y'all doing today? John, how's everybody?
Good.
We're good. Before we start, you're down in Florida. You were talking about how hot it is. You know, as I said, it's summer down there. You can't stay inside, you know. You got work to do, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I got to hit balls.
All right. Speaking of hitting balls, now this is interesting. So I went online and I tried to watch Big Break 1, the very first Big Break, which you were a part of.
Yes.
And it's not easy to find. It's actually really hard to find. There's all kinds of weird things. But I was on YouTube. I went back to YouTube. And you have, I don't know, conservatively, I don't know, 4,000 videos on YouTube. I mean, I'm telling you, you're like the busiest guy in golf.
I stay busy.
Oh, my Lord. I mean,
I don't sleep. Ask my wife. She'll tell you, yeah, I'm busy. I've got a plan. I keep telling people, I've got a real plan, you know, but I have to stay busy.
Well, here's the thing. I would stop, I'd see something, and I'd watch the video, and then I'd scroll down a little bit more, and I'd go, oh, this, I need this, and I'd watch the video. And all of a sudden, like, you know, 2 hours go by, and I'm still watching your videos. Here's the thing. I need to somehow get down there so that I can work with you in person because I played this weekend. I need help, Charles.
Oh, man.
I need help.
To come see me.
I'm telling you.
And the biggest thing is most people just don't know. And like in any type of learning, and most people just don't know what they're looking for. For example, you know, as I said, you know, when somebody takes a golf lesson, as I said before, the two fundamentals of holding the golf club in your hand and your feet touching the ground. And like my wife said, Charles, that's just too simple. I said, it might be simple, but that's what you have to do. Everybody in the world who plays this game must hold the golf club in their hand, must let their feet touch the ground.
Yeah.
And then you build your feelings around that.
Yep.
And once you have those feelings, you know, you just start adding, just like the ingredients to a pound cake. 100 years from now, it's going to be the same.
Wow.
A pound cake is a pound cake. You know, you add strawberries to it and make it a strawberry, whatever, but you can't put, you know, as I say, you know, you can't put whipped cream on top of poop and call it a dessert. You know, you got to put the right stuff on it, man. You know, you got to know what you're looking for. And most people don't know what they're looking for. So that's what a teacher does. He tells you what you're looking for. But that only comes from what you visualize and what you're trying to do. And most people don't visualize what they do. They just get up there and swing, but they don't create pictures to create shapes of what it is that they're trying to do. If I say, hey, hit a fade, then all of a sudden you know the club face got to be open. I don't care how far it goes or whatever, but just visualize that picture and then start swinging that shape. And then your muscles and body will start adapting to it. But we're like, position here, this is none. Now keep swinging until you can get that shape. It'll get through, you know.
That is exactly my problem. And I'm being serious now. I will, and I think a lot, it's like I say, I watch, you know, I sat over the weekend and I played Saturday morning and Sunday morning. In the afternoons, I'd watch videos. My two favorites are you and Padraig Harrington. Padraig Harrington has been doing great stuff during this COVID-19 business, but what happens to me is I get to the golf course and somehow I have 10 of those swing thoughts from the videos in my head when I go to the first tee, and you can't really accomplish anything. I should do that on the range, not out at the golf course.
Well, you forget the most important thing. It doesn't matter how many thoughts you have in your head or whatever. Let's just like playing any sport. It doesn't matter what the thought is. The point is that you what you're doing, you're not playing the game.
Yeah.
See, at the end of the day, you still got to hit the ball with the club face to play the game. Where the ball goes, it goes. But that focus never changes. See, you're thinking like most people. They think if they just make a swing, then the ball's going to go where it's supposed to go. That's not necessarily true. You have to create the picture in your mind of what it is that you're trying to do. And when you create that picture, then all of a sudden, all of a noun, you know, your body starts saying, okay, I need to do this. Like if I just told you, hey, you know, Matthew, take off and then I yell stop, then automatically you know to stop. I say run, you know to run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could do that without thinking. Well, if I tell you to sit back and, you know, and if I say, you know, what I want you to do is just try to hit down the left side of the fairway or something. You know, then you need to visualize a picture of that and hit it. And just keep doing it until you can visualize that picture. You know, I tell people the worst thing in the game of golf is the word impact. I mean, it does nothing but destroy golf swings. And from an athlete, I'll just tell you this. No one ever walks up to one and says, hey, I'm going to see you impact that ball down the left side of the fairway.
Yeah.
Well, no. You know what I mean? It's just like you hit it. So if you're trying to, like, my man, I'm going to have great impact today, in a sense, well, you defeated yourself before you even started, you know, because you're not thinking about impact. What you're doing is think about where that ball's going.
Yeah.
You know,
this is all so true. I mean, it's so true.
We get in our own way.
Yes. Well, I have a habit of doing that, not only with golf. I mean,
that's another radio.
Yeah, it is. That's we'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. My wife.
All right. Here, I want to talk to you about the big break. Last time when we spoke with you, we talked about that this was, you know, you were on the very first big break, and there have been, 22 of them now? Is that 20, right?
Yes, 22, something of that nature, yes.
Wow.
Somewhere around in there. Different types, yeah.
And they've been showing them because there hasn't been any live golf to watch. That's different now. But they're still showing them. And tell us, I want to know, how did you get involved with the big break? Was there... Did you make videos, or did they see your videos and say, hey, we want the Shade Tree Pro? How did the beginning of it work?
Well, what happened is my wife and I was sitting around one evening, and the Golf Channel was, you know, it's what it was. But they had this little caption that came on and talked about, hey, the big break. I was living in Ohio at the time. I was living in Marietta, Ohio at the time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I was really playing good golf at the time. And it just happened to see it. And I just was like, what direction am I going to go? You know, because I was always looking, you know, like, where am I going? And I knew I wasn't going to be in Marietta, Ohio. I was like, I need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I need to do something. You know, I need to get out, whatever, extend, you know. And this little caption came on and said, hey, the big break, blah, blah, blah. And me and my wife just filled it out. And then next thing you know, I end up getting, getting a call. And when I got there, I was in, TPC or something, right there in Dearborn, Michigan is where we did our tryout.
Okay.
Where they had the Ford Seniors Players Championship.
Yep.
And what happened is when I got there, there was a girl by the name of Stephanie Sparks. She also played in the movie Bobby Jones Story. She was on the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
And
yep. Stephanie I know Sparks who she was, is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was from West Virginia. And, you know, and they think in most guys, and see, this is where being a bruh kind of helps you out. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, now here it is that Stephanie Sparks, she's a female playing on the LP, but, you know, it played on the LPGA Tour. Of course, not figuring that I would know who she was in a sense, you know, because she did okay on it, but it wasn't a big star or anything in the nature. But running into her, I said, hey, you're Stephanie Sparks. She's like, you know who I am? I said, yeah, I'm from West Virginia. I said, we all look out for West Virginia people, da-da-da-da-da. And that kind of gave me, you know, it's almost like it kind of broke the ice for me and myself, you know, because I saw somebody that, you know, I was familiar with. And then, you know, I just became Charles. And it was fun. But that's how I got on the show. I went, I did the audition. I did well. I did real well on the personality part, talking and running.
Shocking.
My mouth.
Yeah, that's shocking. Yeah. But go ahead.
but yeah, that's how it pretty much turned out. They gave me a call, and next thing you know, everything kind of got in order the way it needed to be, and I was on my way to Treetops Resort, and it was great because, you know, I studied Rick Smith, and remember when they used to play the par 3 tournament there with Freddie Couples and Rocco and Phil Mickelson and all that, and I just kind of liked Rick Smith's teaching because Rick was a good player, and, you know, it was cool to meet him. I never really met, you know, a top type of teacher of that nature, and I just wanted to see, hey, do they know something better than I do? And of course, you know, I found out they don't, you know.
Of course,
you know,
not.
You'll hit the ball.
That's,
you know,
right.
Just like that. No secrets.
That's right.
Kind of how the show, I got set up for the show, and then I went there, and then, you know, and it was fun. I mean, it just hit me at a time in my life where I was like, where am I going with this? You know,
and it kind of showed you, I think.
Yeah, it let me be a little bit of who I am.
Yep.
You know, it let me be myself a little bit in a sense, and, you know, and I saw certain things that, you know, it was interesting, you know, but we were the guinea pig show. And just like you said earlier about not being able to really find the show, and, well, like I said, whereas now, you know, they did it in a couple of weeks. Well, they're doing theirs now. The newer ones they did, I think, over a 2-week period. I think ours was stuffed in to like a week or so.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I remember one guy on the second big break when they were flying in a plane. He's like, he made a comment about us on the first big break not getting those, you know, amenities. I was like, I like to step on your bare feet. but it was a great time.
It's a great story.
I've never seen it so cold in July, though. I've never seen a place so cold in July in my life. Jesus.
Well,
you're waking up and it's 30-some degrees.
Yeah, no, that ain't good.
No, that's
not good. No. All right, we only got a couple minutes left, but real quick, the PGA Tour at Harbortown and Hilton Head this weekend, and you, like all of us, you're sitting there watching it. And they got five guys that shoot 20 under or better at Hilton Head. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing I'm looking. I'm like, good God, man. What's going on here? I mean, it's just, but here's the great thing about it. Those guys golf their golf balls. It ain't have nothing to do with Bryson hitting it 700,000 miles
exactly.
or anything of that nature. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, and this is what I try to tell everybody, at the end of the day, it comes down to hitting those greens and making those putts.
Yep.
Webb Simpson, you know, and Webb Simpson made, what, 5 out of the last 7 holes he birdied?
Yep.
But then I also said, hey, look, let me tell you what. Webb Simpson got 5 kids. That was a birdie for each kid. And there was no way anybody below him, if they didn't have those mouths to feed, they weren't going to beat him. That's all I can say.
That's okay. Right. That's on Father's Day, too.
Yeah. On Father's Day.
Yep.
One for each kid. Cool. See, nobody looks at that.
Well, nobody looks at things quite the way you do, and it's why I feel the way I do about you, and so many people do. And you're just, you know, you're the bomb, dude, and I'll talk to you again real soon. I want to have you on as much as we can because I love talking to you. And I wasn't kidding. Hopefully, someday soon, I'm going to get down there and hang out for a while and you can show me some of your stuff so I don't have to watch videos all the time.
Yeah, get down and enjoy yourself. I'm at a great facility. I'm at the Marriott Grand Vista. You know, used to be the Faldos or whatever. I'm a member out there. And everybody knows the guy with dreadlocks.
Yeah, okay. All right, Shade Tree Pro.
All right, gentlemen.
You're the man.
All right. Thank you all very much. Appreciate you having me.
All right. All right, bye. Charles Calhoun. He's so cool.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. My guy, Dan Houser, it's thestiffshaft.com, or you can follow him on Twitter at Dan Houser Golf, D-A-N, of course, H-A-U-S-E-R, golf. I'm not spelling that. And we got a lot to talk about. Hi, Dan Houser.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's going all right. It really is. There's a lot going on today as we speak. We'll start with you as a Liverpool fan in the English Premier League, about to clinch their first title in 30 years. But we don't want to jinx it. We don't want to jinx it.
Definitely not.
Also, we have a tournament again going on. Obviously, we're going to talk some golf. The Travelers is being played. All kinds of stuff today. Another hole-in-one for the third week in a row. We had Phil Mickelson shoots a 64. We had Mackenzie Hughes shoot 60 today. What the heck, Dan Houser, is going on in golf? After Harbortown last week, where 5 guys were 20 under or better, what the heck is going on?
So not only did Mackenzie Hughes shoot a 60, he had a putt on the ninth hole of the course, his 18th of the day, for a 59 that he left about 4 feet short. So he actually had a legitimate, and fun fact, had he made that putt for 59, it wouldn't even have been the lowest round ever shot on that course, because as we all remember back in 2016, Jim Furyk shot a 58
correct
on that exact course.
Yeah.
As for what's going on, clearly these guys are enjoying playing without any fans. I think we can all agree on that based on the scores.
I like it. Go ahead.
You know, the only other thing that is possible is, well, first off, you know, when guys like Rory and Bryson are out there and turning par fours into par threes, you know, scoring's going to be low,
right,
you know, no matter what way you look at it. But I think the courses have been getting set up every day a little bit on the easier side, which I also think is a result of the no fans out there. Because if you think about it, in a normal tournament with fans out there, the course kind of is shrunk a little bit by the fact that there's people out there, and
right,
there's hospitality tents, and there's all sorts of, you know, seating set up and everything. So it kind of shortens the course a little bit because of the fact that, you know, if you hit it into the hospitality tent on 18, you get the
drop. Right.
So I think they're kind of, I mean, we're 3 weeks in now, so I don't want to say it's necessarily easing them back in anymore, because what are we easing them back into? But I do think the course setup's a little bit easier. And I think, too, I mean, these guys are able to concentrate a lot better because we don't have, you know, random guy
yelling mashed potatoes,
yelling get in the hole, right, you know, in the middle of their backswing.
Right.
So I think they're just able to go out there now and just focus on nothing but the golf, and they have nothing else going on to distract them on the golf course. There's plenty to distract them off the golf course these days.
Yeah.
But on the course, there's nothing really to distract them, and we're seeing what these guys can do when they're just all they're thinking about and focusing on is just their next golf shot.
You know, I've said this, and I'm curious to get your reaction. We kind of mentioned it before, too, about the no fans and in relation to the actual golf. But as somebody who's watching on TV, like we all are, I hate to say it, but I like it better with no fans. And I know it's not that's not going to stay the same way. I actually like watching these tournaments more now than I do normally because of their not being any fans. The camera shots are different. The commentary is different because they're distancing themselves, and one's in Orlando and another one's here and another one. It's the whole thing is different, and I frankly like it better. Do you feel that way at all?
It's definitely very enjoyable. And another thing we get to see is we get to watch these guys play these golf courses how they were truly designed to be played.
Right.
Because now, without once again, we talk about the grandstands and the mm-hmm. hospitality tents. It's not like when they set these hospitality suites and grandstands, and when they set it up for fans to be on the course, it's not like they just go ahead and make a new area that wasn't a golf course originally and put all the stuff on it.
Right.
But onto the golf course. So it changes the way the holes can be played. It changes where the tee boxes can be set up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing on the course now. These guys are just playing a golf course the same way you and I would be playing a golf course.
Right.
Which means they're playing the golf course as it was intended and designed to be played originally. And I think that's the most fun part because we're seeing guys play angles that they would never be able to play. We saw Rory played that one hole this morning. He drove the green. I mean, if there's people and hospitality suites and camera towers set up on that like normal, there's no way he could have been able to take that angle because he would have had too much stuff blocking him.
Right.
You know. So
right.
These guys can just once again it goes back to these guys can just go out there and play golf. It's just a matter of it's just about hitting the shots and hitting them the right way. And there's nothing in their way. There's nobody in their way. There's nobody yelling in their backswing. It's just guys out there playing a golf course. And I think it is. It obviously, as you said, this won't last forever, and I would imagine we might get to a point as well where we might be saying to ourselves, okay, it would be nice to have fans back, but for the time being, for these first few weeks,
yeah,
when we've never gotten to see these guys just play golf on an empty golf course, it has been very nice and refreshing, as you put it as well, to be able to watch.
It's a great point you make, and I've said this, I've been talking about it, because I've been lucky enough to have played Harbortown 25 or more times. And I never even thought of it that way. Is part of why I enjoyed watching it so much this past weekend was because that's the golf course that I saw, not the one with mm-hmm. all the stuff around 18 in front of the lighthouse.
So I'll give you a prime example. So I have played the Champions Course at PGA National, which is where the Honda Classic is played.
Right.
I played it one time. I played it one time a few years ago, so I have watched. I've covered the Honda Classic several times. I've been out there as a fan watching several mm-hmm. times. I've watched it on TV a ton of times. And so when I played it, it was not centered around the tournament, which means it was just a wide-open golf course. Nothing
right.
was set up. I didn't recognize the course. I'm playing the holes that I've watched on TV or literally walked covering them hundreds of times, and you get out there, and I'm like, okay, what hole is this? Like, I don't because the golf course looks so much different
yeah.
when there's
yep.
not just tons of crap all over the place, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so these guys are getting to play these golf courses without all that crap. And so they're getting to play it exactly how it was intended
right.
to be played by the people who designed it.
Right. It's a great point. We got about 3 minutes left. This Travelers Championship now, and we knew this was going to happen. We've had guys withdraw. Brooks Koepka withdrew because of his caddy. And then on your Twitter feed, and this is really cool. I just saw this. I didn't know this. Brooks's brother qualified to play in this tournament through Monday qualifying, and he withdrew voluntarily because he had been in contact with Brooks, I'm sure. And he did it to protect everybody else. And tell everybody listening what the Travelers tournament has done.
So before I get to that, not only did Brooks' brother Chase qualify via the Monday qualifier, he survived a 5-for-2 playoff
right.
to get in. So
yes.
it was just, you know, astronomical odds, and he gets in. So what the Travelers came out today and said was, you know, they're not sure if come this time next year if he will need it even. He might by that point be exempt onto the tour.
Hopefully.
And whatnot. But if he is not already exempt into this event next year, they have already allocated a sponsor's invite for him for the 2021 edition of the Travelers, should he not qualify on his own.
That is fantastic and good for them. That's
absolutely
really...
and I hope too, you know, and I hope one of these tournaments in the next few weeks also maybe throws him a sponsor's invite, because he didn't get, because while that's great for next year, it doesn't really help him for this year towards trying
right.
to get some sort of status, because he doesn't actually have status, I don't believe, on any tour anywhere. He's just kind of a nomad right now as far as professional golf goes, and just kind of tries to qualify for wherever he can. So, you know, maybe that workday tournament the week before Memorial, or maybe, you know, in Detroit, maybe one of these tournaments say, hey, come, as long as you test negative, obviously, before coming out, come on out and play. We'll throw you a sponsor's invite, you know, given everything that's been happening.
Right. And I think that's a real possibility. All these things are contributing to a golf season and a sports season in every sport like we've never even imagined seeing.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty unbelievable. All right. It's great to talk to you, and I'm really glad that, you know, you're have you been playing? Have you been getting out and playing at all? I'm sure you have.
You know, I haven't been playing as much as I actually was playing before all this, which is surprising, because you'd think with all the extra time I would have.
Yeah.
But, no, I've been trying to just kind of hunker down for the most part and stay safe and just kind of,
okay.
And I know golf is a very safe way to get out and enjoy yourself, so I'm not discouraging anyone from playing, but
right.
I've been really cautious and careful about, you know, when I'm leaving the house and what I'm going to do. So I have not played as much as I might have liked or might have expected to, but you know, it's been an interesting adjustment, but you know, it's like I said, it's a nice safe way to get out of the house
yeah.
and enjoy a couple hours outside in some nice weather.
Right. All right. Well, that's all we care about, is you're healthy and you're staying safe. And, you know, I don't personally care if you're playing golf. I am. I'm just saying.
We know you are. You're always playing.
Well, I have a golf show, so I have to.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
I remember. I used to be a guest on that golf show.
Oh, boy. And you will be again Sunday. What do you think of that?
Good. All right. All let's
right.
do it.
All right, pal. It's great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, see ya.
All right, bye.
Dan Houser, thestiffshaft.com. Okay, another episode in the books. It's not in the books, though, right, Sean? There's no books. No, it's another episode on the computer or something like that. I'm so grateful for being able to do Backspin Golf, as I've been for the last, I don't know, 6 years, 20 years, whatever, however long it's been. Thanks, of course, to Perry French, and to the Shade Tree Pro. We're not done with him either, because he's got a lot of stories, Charles Calhoun, and our buddy Dan Houser down there in Florida. Thanks to all of them. And, of course, our incredible partners in this endeavor. Talk about grateful. Man of War Golf, get on over there, peeps. Get on over there. Work on your game. Chipping, putting. Get clubs fit. Take a lesson from Brad and the other great pros that are over there. Man of War Golf, no place better. French Lick Resort. It's the West Baden Hotel is open with some restrictions. The casino with some restrictions. And the two Hall of Fame design golf courses are there. 2 hours and 15 minutes door-to-door from Lexington. Go up and see them, French Lick Resort. Lexington Parks and Rec for our incredible golf courses, of course. Edwin Watts Golf, great deals going on there. I mean, great deals. You can go in, you can go online. Check them out, Edwin Watts Golf. Commonwealth Credit Union. Last week, we had Karen and Brian talking about their connection to golf and the Barbasol, and they're just an incredible community partner. That's my Commonwealth Credit Union. I am a member there. So is Shannon. NFP, no finer people. That's how I remember because I'm old, and if it's initials, I need something to tie it to. No finer people insurance. My buddy Michael Cunningham and all the great people over at NFP. Check them out, peeps. Clark's Pump and Shop. We had a great time there Friday. Man, I love that place. Drive up window. I mean, you just drive up and then you drive through. It's a drive up, drive through window. Clark's Pump and Shop, right there, the new one on Clay's Mill. And of course, Dan Cummins in Paris and in Georgetown. We have our vehicles from there. I don't think I have any more kids that's going to be needing a car, or else I'd be. I'm just saying, Sean, I'm trying to sit there and think about how many vehicles can I get from Dan Cummins.
Don't you have one more?
I do, but he has his car already. Yeah. No. Oh, you mean Lee?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he's 3 years away. No, I can't think about that. He's 3 years away. Forget it. All right. We'll be back next week. Another edition of Backspin Golf. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.